God is slowly changing me. And He's going to use all those things that look like, that look bad for my good. For example, constant defeat. Doesn't constant defeat look like a very bad thing? But if constant defeat can take away my self-confidence, little by little by little, that self-confidence is worn out. And that's the only way He can do it. The only way the Lord can remove our self-confidence, I'll tell you this, is by allowing you to be defeated and defeated and defeated till you come to an end of yourself and you say, there's no hope for me. See, this is how it was with, you know, Abraham, the father of faith. Let's look at him. Let me show you a verse in Genesis chapter 16. God had told Abraham, you're going to have a son. And from 75 years to 10 years, up to the age of 85, he tried to have a son through Sarah, and he failed. And so Sarah finally said, you better take Hagar. And verse 4, Hagar conceived. And so Abraham said, I made it. But that wasn't victory. That was a picture of, you know, gritting your teeth, struggling, and producing something which you think will be acceptable to God. It's what people teach under yoga. In yoga and Buddhism, they teach you how to control your tongue so that you don't lose your temper. Well, you don't lose your temper, but the heart is full of anger. That hasn't changed. Or they teach you how to control your eyes so you don't lust, but the heart is full of lust. That hasn't changed. That's Ishmael. You know, with our own effort and strength, and I think I've conquered something. I often use the example, say, here's a husband who's, the wife is very upset with him one day and yells at him and screams her head off. And the husband is very patient and keeps quiet and inwardly says to himself, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like my wife. Does that sound familiar, those words? He doesn't say it loudly, but inwardly, Lord, I thank you. I didn't lose my temper. That wife who lost her temper may a little later repent, get light on it and repent and ask God to forgive, and the anger will be forgiven instantaneously by the blood of Christ and she's justified. But this husband who looks down on his wife will probably never get light on the fact on his spiritual pride. Because he thinks he didn't fall. He fell into a much deeper pit than his wife did. The very fact that he looked down on her and said, thank God I didn't fall like that. That's the story of the Pharisee and the publican. So, this spiritual pride is a very deadly, dangerous thing. That's Ishmael. What does this husband do? He didn't lose his temper. He produced an Ishmael. Oh Lord, aren't you happy that I didn't lose my temper? The Lord says no. Like Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God says no. This is a product of your own determination. And it says, this is the interesting thing I want you to notice. I don't know whether you've ever noticed it in your reading of the scriptures. Turn with me to Genesis 16, verse 16. Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. What is the next verse? Abraham was 99 years old when God appeared to him. There's a huge gap of 13 years with nothing written. What is happening in those 13 years? You see, Abraham in the beginning, he could produce a son. That's how he produced Ishmael. Sarah could not, but Abraham could. He had the ability to produce a son with his own strength. But God said, that will be a son produced by your own strength and I won't accept it. That's law. So I have to just wait. You know, like the Lord waited for the disciples to fish and fish and fish and fish and fish for 8-9 hours. It's the same principle here. God has to wait for 13 years till Abraham also becomes impotent and is himself incapable of having a son, even if he wants to. That's what it says in Romans 4. He looked at his body, dead. Sarah's was already dead. Now his was also dead. The Lord says, now I'll give you a son. And you read, when he was 99 years old, and he was impotent, Sarah conceived, and he was 100, he got a kid. That was the son of promise. The principle is the same. So, when he was 86, it was difficult. When it was 99, it was impossible. By the time he was 100, the job was done. So in God's dealings with us, there are three stages. First, difficult, impossible, and then done. Like the disciples went fishing. By midnight, it was difficult. By 4 o'clock in the morning, it was impossible. By 5 o'clock, it was done. The boat was full of fish. So the delay in our coming to victory is because we haven't yet come to the place where it's impossible. We feel it's impossible. We still feel it's a bit difficult to get victory. Well, then God has to wait. It's difficult, and so we keep on trying to produce one Ishmael after another. It was the same with Moses, you know. When Moses, at the age of 40, felt he could deliver Israel, God says, you're not fit. He takes him into the wilderness, makes him live with his father-in-law for 40 years. And breaks him. Till all this mighty strength of the prince of Egypt disappears. And at the age of 80, he says, Lord, I will not go. I'm not the man. Go and find somebody else. And he wasn't acting humble. He really felt impotent to deliver Israel. God says, you're the man. This is God's way in his dealings with all. This is what brokenness means. It means God has shattered your self-confidence. This is the meaning of the Old Testament circumcision. The Old Testament circumcision was a cutting off of the flesh. And Paul says the true circumcision, Philippians 3:3, is a casting away of confidence in our flesh. That's the meaning of the Old Testament circumcision. That I have no more confidence in my ability. And it takes a long while to be circumcised in our heart. You know, Jeremiah told the Israelites in Jeremiah 4, be circumcised in your heart, not just in the externally. That means you're so confident in yourself. And you can find out if there are still those remnants of self-confidence in you by just these two things. One, do you feel proud anytime when you managed to control your temper? You produced an Ishmael and you were pretty proud of it. Yeah, you haven't come to an end of yourself. Have you ever looked down on somebody who loses their temper or does something wrong and you secretly say, I would never do that. Oh, you haven't come to an end of yourself, brother. You got a long way to go. I hope you'll get there soon. But you haven't got there yet. Because of these two things. If you get a little victory, you become proud of it. You do a little thing for God and you become proud of it. And the second is, you look down on somebody else when they fail. You have to go before God and say, Lord, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You don't realize how many times I've gone before God and said that. Lord, I'm the number one Pharisee. Proud and looking down on others and thinking that I accomplished this. But I thank God I came to an end of it. A day came when I said, Lord, it is impossible. I don't say it's difficult anymore.